Today is the 29th May 2022, it's a Sunday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this transcript book. The 46th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. We are at page 35. States of defilement. Here, Shenhua refers to all social and political situations. You should not be molded by society, but rather transform it. Teach living beings. Do not be taught by them. Actually, it's not taught by them, influenced by them. This one is true when you have the wisdom, when you are already enlightened. But when you are also deluded and you teach living beings, you will get yourself into trouble too. It's like the blind leading the blind. Then Master Shenhua gave an example. He said, once when I noticed that one of my students had been talking on the phone for over an hour, I asked her what she was doing. She said, I'm trying to convert my boyfriend to Buddhism. She said, wow, this one is a very good answer, a very classical one. Then Master Shenhua replied, really? What is he now? He is a Catholic? She said, be careful and make sure he doesn't convert you. Master Shenhua said to her, his belief in Catholicism is so firm. Take care that he doesn't take you across. Sure enough, not long after she ran off. Now, what she believes, whether she saved others or was saved by them, is unknown. So this is a humorous example. So this is just Master Shenhua's example. Okay, then we read. The non-defilement of the self nature is called the honored among the multitude. So this is according to the sutta. Living beings are all defiled. If you wish to be an exceptional individual, you must leave desire behind. To separate yourself from desire is to be a great hero and true students of the Buddha Dharma. Unless you correct your form, what little Buddha Dharma do you know is useless. So correcting your form is constantly acknowledging your delusion. So this paragraph is very important. So when you can constantly acknowledge your own delusion, that is the beginning of cultivation. Means you know this is not in accordance with the Dhamma. So you keep on observing. Then understand how your mind has been conditioned into negativity by the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So acknowledging those delusions is very important. It's just like the Buddha said, avoid all evil. How do you do it? You need to train yourself to develop mindfulness, to be sensitive, to be mindful. Then you need to develop the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, to understand what constitutes evil. What constitutes evil is very important. You can't understand that through the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, the learning or the teaching. Then how can you be mindful of it? How can you actually observe it, see it, then abandon it? So the cultivation actually need to follow certain precise steps and understanding. Unless you go through those precise steps and understanding, you are deceiving yourself, deluding yourself. You think you know the Buddha Dhamma? It's all knowledge. And knowledge will lead to argument, division, misunderstanding. So all this is not cultivation or practice. All these are still within the mundane mind, within the analysis. When you try to analyze or reason to develop all the right and wrong, the duality, then that is not cultivation. That is developing the heedless thinking in the name of cultivation. So I read on, then maybe you understand better. Your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. These are the three evil roots. When they manifest, it will make you evil. That's why they are called evil roots, roots of all evil. And their scope are very, very wide. So this first evil root of greed, which in Pali the Buddha called lobha, is not only greediness, because the English translation is not so accurate. You need a lot of English words to actually explain that word lobha, the evil roots of lobha. This one is a type of positive craving, desire. So it's not just being greedy. All of your selfishness is also part of greed. Then all of your craving, your desire, the positive craving like lust, then possessiveness, covetousness, whatever you try to cling onto, hold onto, grasp onto, all these are part of the evil roots of greed. Then the second evil root is dosa. Dosa is translated as hatred. But in the Malay medium, you know, dosa is to do wrong. So this word dosa is not only hatred alone. In fact, this evil root can mean many things. Even your envy, your jealousy is part of this evil roots of hatred. Your dislike, your unhappy rejection of things that you don't like. All these are part and parcel of the evil roots of hatred. Then the last one is, of course, delusion. In Pali, it's called moha. Moha is sakarity or self-delusion. It's really a delusion. You believe you exist, you are real. That's why the egoic mind arises. So when there is this egoic mind, it can trigger the personality to grasp, to cling, and through delusion, it develops fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, phobia. All these are from delusion. They are not really a type of greed or hatred, but they are negativity of mind state born of delusion, like your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your depression, your lamentation, your sorrow and all these things. So when you cannot develop the Dhamma understanding or wisdom to counter these three evil roots, then they will manifest. And when they manifest, they make you evil. That's how you get yourself into trouble karmically. It leads to karmic downfall. Then I read on. So I read the whole sentence so that you understand. Correcting your fault is constantly acknowledging your delusions. This part, remember, you can acknowledge your fault, your delusion, then you can correct yourself, you can improve. But to do that, you need to understand certain things, what constitutes evil. Then these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you have to expand on it. Then you develop mindfulness to be sensitive, to have the ability to be aware. So correcting your fault is constantly acknowledging your delusion, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. as they arise. Okay, we have finished the commentary part. Do you have any question? Is there anything that you would like me to clarify? We can stop here for today at page 240. That one is during that sharing. Huh? Today's session is quite easy to understand. It's just about refuge taking and about cultivation and all those related things. The only thing you have to pay attention to is the final point of cultivation. Just raise your hand if you have any question. Ah, yes, there is somebody, Sister Mandy. So the question is, according to Sister Mandy, he said, Brother Teo, my question is not related to today's teaching. Actually, I was listening to your Dhamma recording in one of your talk on consciousness, the conscious and the subconscious mind. Do we need to know that at our current level of cultivation? Then I replied, I said, later on in your cultivation, you will go through a transformation stage where your mindfulness or your awareness will become very stable. After it has become so stable, then it can have the state of awareness within your nature that is able to be aware of your subconscious and unconscious mind state, even while you are sleeping. So this one is for those who have already developed the stability of inner mindfulness, awareness. Then you will have the ability. If you can do that, you are already very good. You would have progressed very far in your cultivation. But don't worry about that, because this ability is not the normal training for normal people. To reach that ability, you must have a very unique and very profound and very, To reach that ability, you must have a very unique and very profound past cultivation. Then only can you have such ability. Then during this life, when you come, you will connect to your true nature and inherit your past cultivation early, thus enabling you to have such ability after stabilizing your understanding. Then your mundane mind will collapse and your true nature will shine forth. Then your ability to be aware become very stable and very natural. Only those type of being can be aware of their subconscious and unconscious creation from moment to moment. So this part, I think, no need to worry about it until later part when you have stabilized all this and develop the ability to connect to your nature. But for normal living being, maybe you can maintain some form of mindfulness or awareness within. And understanding too. You can recall or recollect what you go through while you are asleep. Means after you wake up, you may not have the ability to be aware inside, and you cannot follow your subconscious or unconscious release via dream states, etc., because you don't have the stability of the true mind to go in. But you can recall through memory after you wake up. As you go through the dream state, the subconscious is released. And you can recall some of them. Then you will come to understand why this type of dream arises. Why not other type of dreams? Sometimes the images that come out doesn't seem to be connected at all. They're very fast. It transforms. You will come to know and to understand that these are the subconscious release and some of the unconscious release because of attachment. When you reach the stage whereby you get very, when you reach the stage whereby you get very little of all this subconscious and unconscious release, it will become more and more clear to you, because by then your sleep and all those subconscious and unconscious releases will become like very fine and very light, like they don't exist at all. It's like you don't really have any movement inside. And then once a while, you can still go into the unconscious and the subconscious mind state. Then within that, there are these releases. And you will see them arising as a dream, as dream state, because you have some form of memory when they arise. When they arise and you reflect back, you will come to know what they are. Then you will be able to check and come to realize that they are due to your attachment in daily life. These are the subtle attachments that are still there, not rooted out as yet. When these subtle ones also go, then finally it is like, it will be like normal again, like nothing inside. Then everything is like very still, nothing, and no movement at all. It's just like the calm sea, no wave, nothing. And as you go deeper into your cultivation, you will start to experience the stillness, the silence. It's like in the deeper part of the ocean or the deeper part of the lake, where the surface wave or even the very calm surface wave also no more. Because this surface wave, even though relatively calm and mild, still have their movements. But as you go deeper, there is no more movement, no activity at all. So stability of mindfulness, awareness, and the true mind is more or less the same. When the superficial mind is no more, especially after the mundane mind has collapsed, then all these gross images and mind state persist. Then even in your daily life, there is no more of this mundane mind creating mental formation or mental activity and thinking. Absolutely nothing. It's just a clear nature, shining forth. All this you will come to experience them as you go through the cultivation. It may take some time, so don't worry. As it happens, as it transforms, your nature will understand. Your form and mind will also come to know. Okay, sadhu for the very good question. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She was listening to an earlier recording, hence the question. This is the note. Okay, last Thursday's talk was also very good, where there were two new people, and I explained the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties differently, via a different approach. Then someone asked a question, and I answered her with a question. Do you know the difference between you are conscious of life, but you are not aware of life? So that one, I think, was a very good video session. Human beings are conscious of life, but they are not aware within the moment. Hence, they are not aware of life. To be conscious and to be aware are two totally different things. So these are very few cultivators understand. Even cultivators also very few can understand. So don't expect normally people to understand. Because the English word has been used like the two are the same. That's why when cultivators who don't have the understanding of what awareness is, I remember I heard one of the questions in one of the Satipatthana Sutta retreat. I think it's a retreat, and they had their Q&A, they're sharing. So one of the participants us. He said, aware of what? The moment that question was asked, I knew they don't understand. But the equally gullible thing is, the person who tried to answer that question also couldn't differentiate between the two things. To be conscious and to be aware are not the same. That's why they always use the word conscious of what. That one is a correct question. When you are conscious, there are things you can be conscious of. Like, you are capable of seeing consciousness. Conscious of what you see. Okay, or hearing consciousness, conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. But when it's awareness, awareness is before the knowing, before the perception, before the words, before the concept, the content of consciousness. So there is nothing to be aware. It's just the pure perception, the pure awareness of that thing that the Buddha said, suchness. Seeing things as they are. Means the pure perception before the labeling. So to be aware and to be conscious are two different things. But most people cannot develop the ability to be aware. Most people are only conscious of life. Then when they are conscious, they are also heedless. They are muddled. Because they think a lot. The thought process, they are preoccupied, they are thinking. Their mental stirring, their emotion, everything. Then the negativity of mind state, born of the five mental hindrances, keep on arising. That's why that one will hinder the mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And because of that, they cannot be in the meditative state because they think alone. They overuse the thinking mind, the mundane mind. They are hardly aware within. When you are without thought, you are naturally aware. So we go back to the sharing. Hopefully, people can develop the understanding. The moment you wake up, you are already conscious, right? Because you're no longer sleeping. You're no longer in the unconscious state. You are conscious of your environment, your body, etc. You are conscious of many things, but you are not aware within. That's why to have mindfulness, to have awareness, is to be aware within from your heart area, your nature. You are conscious with heedless thinking, like what I explained just now. You think a lot. You are usually too busy thinking, planning, and most of the time, worrying about life. So much so, you never really live life. You are never with the moment. With silent inner awareness to experience the reality of the moment. The great pristine beauty and wonders of life within the moment. Your mind just cannot be quiet, cannot be still or silent. The moment you wake up, you start to think. You start to recall what you are supposed to do. Sometimes your tactile consciousness and other type of sensory consciousness will trigger off the mental activity and thinking. And most of the time, you are not aware at all. To cultivate is to reverse all this. To cultivate is to be heedful, to be constantly meditative and ever mindful. That's why this mindfulness has to be very stable. Not until you can develop the stability of mindfulness, you have yet to develop the real meditation. Well, what we are talking about is the awareness-based meditation. I try to control from my side. No, I'll do it. All this is okay, it's okay. All this formal meditation you do, whether while in a retreat or at any meditation way place, they are mostly just conditioned mind state that make you calm, make you more peaceful, let you experience some fantastic meditative mind state or manifestation of mind. Most people don't even get to experience that. Most people, in fact, experience a lot of pain, a lot of what they call mental suffering. You agree or not? Yeah? This is what people do. They go for formal meditation. Then they believe the environment is more conducive, more quiet, more maybe strategic to them. Then they try to develop some form of calm. The calmness, the peacefulness, come from the environment plus some form of conditioning. Means they use method technique or focusing and concentration to force the mind to be peaceful. Then they experience some altered mind state, born of some form of concentration, means focusing or absorption, one-pointedness and other things. So this is how it happened. But most people can't get it. They have problem when they are at the retreat, especially the first few days or the first few sessions. They want to meditate, they can't. They think a lot. Then after a while, they develop the pain. They experience a lot of pain. Then the mind is like full of suffering. They want to move, they dare not move. They want to develop some form of activity, but they try to suppress it because they have been so conditioned in the form of meditation. You must not talk, you must not speak, you must not move. So a lot of things create what they call the tension, the stress. Then they are not able to relax. That's why most of the time, some will try to come out of that former sitting, then try to do walking, meditation. Then after a while, they feel boring again. Then they go back and sit. But do they really understand what is going on? So all these people who go through all this, after maybe a few sessions, they start to develop some form of calmness, peacefulness of mind. Then after that, that thing is gone. But they feel very good. Then they try to get it repeated. The trying to get it repeated is always a problem. Then after a while, they become like very disillusioned. They say, how come last time I can do it, now I can't? But whatever it is, like good food, after you are able to taste it a few times repeated, then it's no longer so special. So you look for better taste, better experience. So this type of thought-based meditation has this problem. They keep on chasing, looking after better and better mind state. Then they want it repeated, but they can't. Because when you are new, when you have the faith, and when you determine, then you do certain things, then it will come when you don't expect it. But when you look for it, that craving prevents it from arising. Unless you develop the skillfulness in that training, like the concentration or the absorption, then you can get it repeated, especially those who constantly do it. But if you do that, it's thought-based meditation, and you don't understand. It's not awareness-based. That's why it will give you problem too, where you will debate, not knowing that you are debating. So that is the initial problem, I realize. Then I go on to say, it's like a torture to them. They force themselves to sit. And this part is very true. They force themselves to sit through all the discomfort, the pain, the numbness, the itchiness, and the restlessness of mind with all the mental hindrance. Yet they dare not tell people. So this one, you reflect back in the early days when you go for retreat without understanding. You also do that. You force yourself to see, even though it's very uncomfortable. So you sit through all the discomfort, the pain, the numbness, the itchiness, and the restlessness of mind with all the mental hindrance there. So mental hindrance, you know, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, and restlessness of mind, and doubt. So all these, they will arise. Yet, they dare not tell people. Sometimes they try not to even move. It's very rigid in their posture. And that makes them not relax. Even then, when they want to release the cares of heart, they are also very embarrassed and scared. All these are happening because they don't understand what meditation is. They think everybody sit, so they must also sit. Everybody don't talk, don't move. They must also not talk and not move. But inside the mind, psychologically, there are a lot of negativity of mind state, a lot of unhappy thoughts, and a lot of mental suffering. Then sometimes you force yourself to sit through and you go into concentration or one-pointedness of mind via methods and technique, then you will experience some form of peace and calmness. Then the pain seems to go off for a while. Then you thought you had progressed. You thought you were very good. And you try to talk about it. Wow, I experienced the formless mind. Because my body is like missing. I cannot feel my body. Let's say you get to experience all this. So what? Does it give you any understanding or wisdom? Does it allow you to see defilement, to understand the essential Dhamma? Have you transformed? Chances are, you do not have any of these. Even the enlightenment factor is also not there. The right view is also not there. What meditation is, you also don't understand. You don't even know what sati is. You also do not understand the spiritual faculty. All this, you also don't understand. And yet you say, you are enlightened. You meditate. That's why if you do all this without understanding, you become gullible. And it's very difficult for you to progress. There is a reason why I've been emphasizing and sharing with you all for the past few months the importance of having a clear understanding of what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. You have to listen to it attentively and then write it out so that you are more focused when it comes to developing the meditation with understanding. Then you make sure you understand all this and put them into practice with understanding. Does it allow you to see your defilement, to understand the essential Dhamma? Have you transformed? Chances are you do not have any of these. Even the enlightenment factor is also not there. The right view is also not there. So what type of meditation is this? Then you also don't understand what meditation is. You don't even know what sati is. You also don't understand the spiritual faculty, yeah? Sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. All this, you also don't have the understanding. Yet you say, you meditate. That's why if you do all this without understanding, you become gullible. And it's very difficult for you to progress. That's the reason why I have been emphasizing and sharing with you all for the past few months, the importance of having a clear understanding of what the meditation as taught by the Buddha is. You have to listen to it attentively, then write it up, so that you are more focused when it comes to developing the meditation with understanding. Then you make sure you understand all this and put them into practice with understanding. So I actually summarize it for you again. So phase one of the Dhamma cultivation is just to understand the teaching via pariyatti, which is the learning of the teaching. Then after that, when you have developed a clear understanding, you put it into practice. And this phase two is called patipatti. Unless you understand it very clearly, it is very difficult for you to put into practice. So this is obvious. Eh? Then you will know or understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. This is most important. Whereas you have become gullible and you think by doing all this, following all the instruction, the methods and the technique, you think that is meditation. Then I even explain a bit more. I said that is by going to retreat, doing all the sitting. Sit there, don't move, or do all the noting, walking, sitting and bowing, etc. As long as you don't have clear understanding, technically, you are actually wasting your time. Bear this in mind. Yeah? Because the real cultivation, when you do with proper understanding, will lead to very fast progress. You will understand it very beautifully, and you will have a lot of joy. And when your five spiritual faculties have stabilized, you will come to understand the whole of meditation is not what you think. It is completely different, leading you to the daily mindfulness cultivation. As long as your cultivation does not lead to the stability of daily mindfulness, then you are not doing the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then you are not heedful. Then there is no way you can get it right. When you start to see all those things clearly and awaken to the universal characteristics of nature, then you will come to a clear understanding that all these are not what the books say or what people tell you early on. It is your own self-cultivation, self-realization that brings forth the understanding. And that is the real cultivation, which is just to develop the silent mind. See, this is what you have to do, which is the meditative mind in sati or awareness, leading to the samadhi, to insight into phenomena, or what they call vipassana insight. We are the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. You have to go through and experience them all. Only then can you understand the nature of the true mind, the meditative mind, and how meditation using this true mind can translate into wisdom and awaken via the direct seeing. This is the summary part of the cultivation. And hopefully with this understanding, more and more Kayamita can develop the cultivation with clear understanding. So this one, mark it and make sure you do it. Eh? You all have improved a lot in the actual sense of the word. But in the spiritual sense of the word, true progress demand deeper understanding, which is beyond just the superficial, essential Dhamma understanding. So most Buddhists, practitioners, or cultivators all the way, their problem is whatever superficial, essential Dhamma understanding or knowledge that they develop, they think that is progress. So with that, they are caught. Because a lot of these are Dhamma knowledge. The Dhamma knowledge can give you some form of idea, sense of knowledge. You think you know. Then you sometimes believe you can advise people by telling people, let go la, don't attack la, don't cling la, no suffering. Easier said than done, like last time Yuan Chan used to tell me. Separate your advice people very easy. But when it comes to your own real personal truth reality, when you confront them, especially when it involves your loved ones, your personal life, then that is the real test. So without the true penetrative awakening, the Dhamma unfolding, you cannot handle life. You cannot come to terms with life. Then all this noble truth, first, second noble truth, they keep on arising. Then you don't even understand what the third noble truth is, cessation of suffering. Without awakening, without wisdom, suffering cannot cease. Then the path that leads to the cessation, which is the cultivation of the noble eightfold path through heedfulness, is not done. So how can you expect to have enlightenment, awakening? The first two noble truths is to let you understand the reality of life and existence. Means within the existential world, when you live life, when you go through life, you will confront the eight realities of life and existence that the Buddha proclaimed. Then this one, if you confront them without wisdom, the Buddha said suffering will arise. Then after that, he went on to explain further in the second noble truth. He said, whatever suffering that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. That's why the cause of its arising. So if you have developed the understanding of what suffering is and the cause of its arising, then definitely you can do something about it, isn't it? You can manage it better. Maybe it involves your life. There is no reason why a person, a normal person, would be so deluded until when you already know this is suffering and this is the cause, and you allow yourself to be entangled again and get yourself into trouble. That is insane, isn't it? So if I know this is suffering and this is a cause, I will know how to avoid it. Then I have to determine my life. If I want to overcome all this, change all this, what are the things that I have to do? That is cultivation. Then you start to follow the advice of the Buddha to reverse all this. Because whatever that arises early on is through delusion, without the understanding of this teaching, you didn't follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. That's why you don't believe the precepts. And you don't know that the precept is given out of love and compassion to us by the Buddha to prevent us from committing major evil. So to avoid all evil, you have to abide by the precepts. You have to keep your precepts. But these precepts, if you violate them, it constitutes major evil. So when it arises, then it will cause your coming downfall, coming negativity. Then when you don't take care of karma, karma will come and haunt you. And you will suffer. You will become afflicted. You will become miserable. Just like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You hold the key to your own life destiny. So your life, you decide. So basically, that is what it is. So I will move on. Even the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation will become different after that. You will start to reflect and contemplate via the first turning and the second turning of the first path factor, which is right view. The three types of right views is Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. After that, you put them into practice. Then all the essential Dhamma will become very clear and meaningful to you because it all spin off from the right view. Then with the initial understanding of the teachings of what constitutes evil, how to avoid evil, and how to develop the mindfulness to be aware of evil, you can then reflect and contemplate deeper into what actually constitutes evil. Especially the subtle evil that you are unable to see before this via the direct seeing, and how your five mental aggregates of form and mind actually arise and pass away following the law of dependent origination or dwelling. That is true meditation. That is the one you need to go into and develop. That understanding, no one can teach you. Just like what the Buddha said, he can only show you the way, and you have to walk the path yourself. So this part, bear in mind and develop it, because the training is entirely the individual. You have to cultivate yourself. You have to realize and awaken yourself. Then the third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, which are still not in you. Develop the understanding of what constitutes right thought, right speech, and right action. And this one take a while. You have to write it down. You have to develop it. Then, after you have done it, you become beautiful. Because by then, you will understand that all these right thought, right speech, right action, they are all your virtue, your goodness, your kindness, your sincerity, your truthfulness. So all these are virtuous thought, virtuous action, and virtuous speech, or approaches to relationship. Then how you can arise the right effort to do it so that it can become a living reality, means it become a part of you, part of your character, part of your personality. So that when you live life, when you communicate with people, when you arise your thought, when you develop your action in life, you have this understanding and you have the embodiment of all this Noble Eightfold Path understanding. Then the right effort to cultivate them can really materialize until they become a part of your nature, until automatically you become. But that means you live your life in accordance with the Dhamma. You are incapable of evil. And then everything you do is with understanding, wisdom, wholesomeness, virtue, contentment, and respect. All these have become your second nature. These are the virtue that you have developed. That's why virtue is the final product. And you understand that it is not worthwhile to violate this nature's law, especially the karmic law. Then finally, the fourth and the last right effort is to refine upon and perfect what you have already developed. That is the perfection of virtues, leading finally to the perfection of the 10 paramitas to become a Sammasambuddha. So the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path is the beginning of cultivation of virtue. Then when you have developed that, gone through the sainthood way, and when you go through the bodhisattva way, the same perfection can be developed further because it has to be extended until it covers the whole of life. Then only the paramitas, the perfection to become Sammasambuddha can be cultivated. So that one is a very extensive cultivation. So the perfection of virtue leading finally to the perfection of the 10 paramitas to become Sammasambuddha is the ultimate aim of all bodhisattvas. That one, even bodhisattva also have to do. They have to do or cultivate for very long because they have to refine upon and perfect them. Like Dana Parami, you have to perfect it, not only develop it. Then you need wisdom to perfect it, the three stages. Then you need to perfect the paramita and the metta and all love. Then that of virya and the rest, like kanti, patience, atitan, self-determination or affirmation, and so forth. There are a lot more you can develop when you have taken the bodhisattva vow. The four basic vow of the bodhisattva can help you perfect all these things. They will have the contentment and all the other virtues. The first vow is to enable you to develop love and compassion. The second vow is to help you develop renunciation, and contentment. Your ability to endure and severe all suffering means you have renunciation and contentment. To have renunciation is to have wisdom. To have contentment is to have wisdom. Then after that, the third basic vow leads to the perfection of wisdom. We are realizing and penetrating all Dhamma. After that, your cultivation will become very different. Then the fourth basic vow can be fulfilled. We are your ability to renounce samsara at the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development or Bodhisattva-hood training. Then when you have perfected the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, you will realize the fifth stage, which is the consummate stage, which means you have perfected the 10 paramitas. Then Buddhahood can be realized, which means you can have the same nature as the other Sama Sambuddha. We will stop here and have that time was 30 minutes. Now, today I think exactly 4:02. We stop here. Then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can have our second session, which is meditation reporting.
Bharatio, 我想 share 我最近的一个experience 啊。Then 那一天我们在 Visade 的那个 gathering 哦。
对，在 Pamasri 的家。
那时after 那个金浩的他有问那个问题了以后 ，Bharatio 你在跟他做那个 explanation 的时候 ，then 你有听到。你这个就讲到一句话，你讲因为会有江南比较不容易的去 cultivate is because due to 我们due to 有这个karmic 就是那个 thought 哦，意思在、
yeah.
是 due to 有这个 karmic 的这个 obstruction 在
那里。对。
很奇怪 ，Bharatio 你在你那一天你在 mention 这个 sentence 的时候，哎，我的里面很像。他有 feeling 啊，整个这个 center 很像 touch 到我的里面
因为 the faith is very important 是的，
So then 过后then after 两天过后我回到马六甲，所以我就回去马拉克的那个观音庙里面，然后我就去 ask for forgiveness 因为past life because of 这个 thought 的这个一直在 disturb 我们所以我就在 然后我就在那个观音庙里面，我就去 ask for forgiveness and then the aspiration and get and 也要那个观世音菩萨来guidance 我
对 blessing and guidance。
然后三天过后很奇怪。Then, 我 that day afternoon, 我的 brother 在 call 我，然后在 call 我，在跟我讲电话的时候，suddenly like 我在讲电话的过程里面，我有一点的reacting. The moment 我 react 的时候，我可以看在我讲电话的时候 ，at the same time, 我看到我的 heart 的里面在中间边有一个东西这样子 arise, 然后它又 cease 下去。Then 我就没有去理他。The next day morning, 我在听那个 recording 的时候 ，the moment 那个 recording 就是佛莲在 share 他讲他 boss 的那个The moment 他讲他 boss 的时候，我就在 recall 回的那yesterday 我的 brother 在 call 我的时候，我也是有 boss， 然后我就，那过后continue brother 你在做 explanation 的时候。我可以明白那些not intrinsic就是 not intrinsic
within your nature
对 and then
those unhappy feeling or like dislike intense dislike feeling which Polian experienced that day then when she did the sharing was really for her to cultivate because she actually had gone through a lot of coming obstruction, and she managed to diligently, sincerely ask for forgiveness and do the necessary thing to clear. So they clear until now the cultivation stage. So the cultivation stage also she need to clear. That's why the cultivation stage actually presented her with this very good condition to let her understand. But she didn't make full use of it. I remember that time she said there was something the colleague was saying that give rise to that mind state that is she described as bosong, really unhappy. Then she decided not to be the chipping bird, which is her way of creating an analogy like those who participate in the chipping means like you talk a lot, and you tend to maybe use your reasoning, your argument, and whatever viewpoint. But that day she instead just silent. But she doesn't know what silent is. So while she was trying, the other friend who continued to talk and like chip in the car, she like went listen a bit, then don't want to listen a bit. Then it took her 20 minutes before the thing disappeared. But if you really relax, maintain awareness and silent, actually 1-2 minutes, 2-3 minutes is gone right here. At the most, maybe 5 minutes, still be gone. But nevertheless, it's a very good condition for her to receive the advice and instruction, because she decided to report that sharing, that incident. That's why I told her she had come a long way. First is the karmic obstruction that arise because of past life through ignorance and delusion. She many lives offended Triple Gem and Cultivator of the Way. Then that stage, I think, took her quite a while. Then with some assistance, she actually expressed her sincerity, asked for forgiveness, and do all those necessary things, and she cleared. Then later on, when she wants to go to a spiritual trip, to do wholesome trip, the one that manifests at Atalo there, means Anandagiri. Over there, she kena again, the coming obstruction came again. Because a lot of these devas up there, to them, it's not long ago, because they live very long. So during those life, when she did all those things, must be during the sasana time, the early part of the sasana time. So all this, trigger. Then in my house also, when we do the invocation to the deva, before I can even finish some mantra, she already cannot take it ready. So all these were the condition and the sign. And she managed to overcome all this through her own sincerity, faith, diligence, and do the three things that need to be done. And finally, she wants to do the cultivation. That's why I remember the cultivation, she always says she very calm and she not serious one, and she every time cannot do it on her thing. Then suddenly the occasion arises, because she, after many incidents, I think, she want to determine to cultivate, because she, I think earlier on, helped PG before there were conditions, and PG wants to help her back and reminded her and share a lot of things with her, and I think you also try to remind her. And she like wanted to become more serious in the cultivation, but she couldn't do it because of the coming obstruction. Because when you do all this, the obstruction comes in stages. You have to break the offense to Triple Gem, then you have to break the karmic offense to people whom you have caused deviation or misled. Then you have also caused severe karmic obstruction to cultivate a certain way. You also have to clear that. Then after that, when you want to meet the Triple Gem, the coming offense will surface. Then as you go through the coming obstruction, clear it, then as you want to enter way place or what, it will surface. Then as you want to do those invocations that involve all this non-human Dharma protector and what, if there are those who can still remember you or know you, they will come in, give you the problem. That's what karmic obstruction is all about. Then finally, when you want to cultivate, this karmic obstruction will come. Like what Pao Lian experienced. So for her case, is she was lucky, she managed to describe them. And I told her, at least it's a good start. 20 minutes is better than not starting. So whenever there is such condition, go and do it, silence yourself and just do it, excuse yourself or whatever, then go and silence your mind. So for your this case also, you are just starting to ask for forgiveness and all things, and some of these things may happen, but you need to maintain understanding. In fact, the best time to do it is whenever this mind state arise, you just excuse yourself from the phone call or whatever, or the discussion, then go to a quiet place, somewhere you are alone, then silent. Even in time of fear or what they call when you feel restless, insecurity or whatever. Whenever they arrive, you just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Then find out. Then it will cease. And that is the meditative way, which a lot of people fail to do. Because they think they know the theory, that's it. But to do it and knowing the theory are two different things. When you do it, you really saw it cease, then you realize, hey, exactly as per the teaching, the Buddha was right. All these mind states, they are dependent, originating, condition arising. It's not intrinsic within our true mind, our true nature. So what we need to do is to relax, maintain awareness, be with it. Then we witness it through the silent nature to cease. And when it ceases, means the true mind has returned. The stirring that is the result of wrong view, wrong thought, has ceased. That's why it is dependent originating, condition arising. It's a causal phenomenon. Originally, they don't exist, but because of condition, it exists. And what are the wrong thought or the condition? It's always your wrong view, your inability to accept the reality of the moment. So this training needs to be confronted and developed through an understanding into basic fundamental stages. First is to be with it and witness the ceasing. Once it ceases, that is a very profound understanding of dependent origination, paticca sammuppada. If it's not me, then why do I react? Now, that is the second stage. Why do I stir my mind? Trace the origination factor. So the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. Before the Bosong feeling arrived, it was not there. then how come it still have that tendency? It's either habitual or karmic consciousness. That's why all this is a result of lack of stability or wisdom or understanding. So when you trace back the origination factor, then you realize it's either through your memory or what you see or what you hear. For your brother's gift, and you say he said or discussed something to you, then that feeling arises, that boson feeling arises, means it must be something that has hit your views, opinion, and condition. Means the habitual tendency actually is still there. That's why straight away it move and stir. Then that sensation arises, the feeling arises. Then no need to worry about it, because as long as the understanding is there, then you accept it. Then you can actually there and then witness it, seize it. Otherwise, you can feel that it continues to build up as you continue to give meaning and feed on it. To do that is not easy for most people, unless you have gone through the first stage of silencing your mind and witnessing the ceasing, then develop the contemplative wisdom to reverse the wrong view. Means to straighten your view so that you do not stir the mind and react to it anymore in the future. So when you start to do that, then it will stabilize. Then the next time you confront the same situation or whatever other type of situation that's supposed to bring about the mental reaction or movement, the effect is less strong already. It's not as strong as before already. But you may realize that it will still be there for a while. Then after that, it may like just recall it, die off. So ability to develop the straightening of view to cover a wide spectrum of understanding is very important. That one need contemplative wisdom, stability of it. You need to understand, like what I share with you, or the Dhamma will surface at the moment of sense experience. Sabbe sankhara anicham, sabbe sankhara dukkham, sabbe dhamma anatta, that it is. Then the other one is, like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. So everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, concept normal. So we have to come to terms with the reality, but that is the only reality, the truth. So like I always say, if you contemplate deep enough, then you will know nature is. That's why Krishnamurti used the word what is, truth is, the reality is, everything is. Then you also come to know, which I normally use simple example and understanding. I always share with you all, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things to be like that. So there is no why. How come these people like that? Why living being like that? Why society like that? Why this Trump guy like that? There is no such question. The reality is they are just the way they are. The world is the world. Society is just the way it is. Nature is. Everything is. Truth is. That's why these are realities. So when you accept them as reality, your mind becomes different. We are the form and mind live in a conditioned world. The conditioned world has its own reality, has its conditioned them. Reality exists in the conditioned world. Right and wrong exists within the conditioned world. Everything that people talk about, knowledge, ideology, they exist within the conditioned world, even belief system. That's why they have all this division created by religion, by belief system, by race, racism, disharmony, and all these things. So when we can accept this reality, we come to terms with it, then we are at peace. When we are at peace, we can act. How do we act? That's why all these are the cultivation. We act following the Dhamma way, means we act according to wisdom. We don't act according to memory or knowledge or what people tell us. Well, that one cannot free. You have to act according to the Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way, following Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path means what? That one you have to contemplate until very stable. Right view, leading to right thought, right spirit. Right view is most powerful. The moment you have the view correct, you can accept really, like law of karma. There are causes and conditions behind, like the Buddha said. Otherwise, how can it happen to you? Because you reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. Then the Paticca Samuppanna is the one that stirs your mind, that condition the living being into what they are. That's why I always say they are just the way they are. Means able to understand causes and conditions is very important. This is one of the most fundamental. Then the third one is Dhamma Niyama, which is right view with regards to Dhamma, truth, all of truth. What is the reality? You can accept all this. Then nothing in this world can affect you or disturb you. Well, you will have the answer. When you have right view, you know it has something to do with karma. So you move on. You do what you have to do. You act following the Dhamma way. Need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Need to repent. Do the repentance, like what I used to teach you all. Then determine not to violate all this again by following the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, and invoke power of merits, turn around, and progress. So these are the three very direct way of resolving issue, overcoming karmic obstruction, and bring about the good line, the turnaround, and all this thing. So all these are very useful, beneficial for cultivation. You need to stabilize all this understanding so that whatever happened to you in life, you understand. Well, it will complement the yellow card, the form and mind. The two aspects of the form and mind that I have shared with you, you must have that right view. And right view in regards to the five aggregate of form and mind. Even the Rupang Anicang, Rupang Anatta, Vedana Anicang, Vedana Anatta, Sanya Anicang, Sanya Anatta, Sankara Anicang, Sankara Anatta, and Vedana Anicang, Vedana Anatta. And go deeper into it. Sabbe Sankara Anicang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anattito or Anatta. So reflect on it, contemplate on it, develop the understanding of it. So all these are very important understanding. That's why they are all connected. So when you do the four basic vow, and you include all the other things that I have taught you all in the yellow card, to ask for forgiveness, to repent, then after that, to develop affinity with great beings and the triple gem. Ask for their blessing, protection, and guidance. Then do all the affirmation of having this right understanding and right view life of the life. Whenever you choose to come or you have to come, you must have this understanding. Then you go all out to make additional vow to break all the other coming obstruction that are still not included. And after that, there are other more pertinent cultivation that you need to do so that you have the perfection, the virtue, and all this wholesomeness, the merits to help you when you need them in time of tribulation and all those things. They will shine forth to enable you to fulfill your 10 perfection cultivation, to fulfill your 4 basic vows, to come as a bodhisattva. So all these are the bigger picture understanding of the whole practice and cultivation that you can develop the stability of understanding so that you establish your form and mind on this path, this line, in a very, very stable manner, so that you have strong faith, sadha, virya, then sincerity, then you persevere. Then the way will be there. Means this way already established, fulfilled. Then line after line, the understanding is there, the condition is there, the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind planted deep within the nature. This is what cultivator and Kayamita need to do this time, especially if this coming retreat, if the date we more or less decide on the end of August until early September. So this retreat, a lot of things can happen if you really determine and do it. And at the retreat, you can actually develop a lot of understanding and stability of mindfulness, or you call it the city, to be with your true mind, your true nature, your silent mind, stabilize it, stay there. Because at that temple, the Triple Gem temple, the great beings' nature are all there. They are very conducive, the environment, everything, the nature, very conducive. And it's like meant to be. My nature actually knew before the pandemic started. Once this retreat can be held, a lot of Kayamita will move and benefit. But I don't know why. I think it's because of some karmic. It cannot happen because of the pandemic. So for 2 years. But sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. Like for Pujing's case, it was a blessing in disguise. Because of the pandemic, we revert to the Zoom session. Then I did the Heart Sutta over 8 months. That one helped, actually. Then after that, the Zoom sharing also helped. And this one turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It prepare you all to have all this understanding so that when the actual retreat is there, happening, I can tell you, with this understanding, you go there, you become completely different. And your faith, your sincerity, your perseverance, you will do it like never before. And so many of the Kayamita who has progressed, they will know what to do. Then together with our collective consciousness at that time, that whole of the retreat will become very beautiful. Our Kayamita falls, that time will shine forth, become very powerful. So hopefully with this sharing, today's sharing, it will help you all. So, okay?
Brother,谢谢你。 repeat, 一直在听你的那个 advice 给那个普练的。 因为我就一直在很像去establish 那个 understanding 这样，然后今天你又在讲的时候，哇，很像整个一个很 full 的一种整个的一个 full 的 picture，整个的那个explanation。
The big picture, you have to connect them all. Otherwise, I realize 你每次去解决那个 section 的那个 small section, then you cannot develop the overall understanding to actually once and for all clear all this. Then only after that, the bodhisattva way will really take off. It will take off.
Okay, yeah. So, Umbrella, what the sharing to Tao, Tao Tsubina?
Yeah, good evening, Umbrella. Mr. Steele, Suyin, Kayamitas. Yeah, I totally agree with Umbrella. You said a big picture, to see an overall picture is very important.
Yeah, the full picture is very important.
Like this Theravada Seminary program, novitiate program, we have to see the overall big picture, like Brother Teo said, because we cannot be taking care of only the small personal satisfaction.
Correct. Sadhu.
According to that person, is it?
Yeah.
No doubt sometimes they have their good points, but it just cannot be done because overall picture, is it?
Yes. Sadhu, you can understand that is very good. Sadhu.
Because I see a lot of from this novitiate program, I learn quite a lot. Personally wise, I can see a lot of arguments or individual views cannot be taken care of. I mean, to be
correct. That's why you will come to that understanding. Don't try to be right. Because this is the mundane, conditional. There is reality. There is right and wrong. But why must we try to be right? It will lead to argument, misunderstanding, conflict. Then for your case, you begin to understand and see, then not important, you put it aside. But try not to explain to people. Will you explain to people more problem coming on? Living beings, when they are not ready, without the Dhamma understanding, they can't. In fact, I explained before, I remember, during the early day, there was only one incident where the Kayamita or some of these people who try to help me to organize spiritual trip or spiritual activity, like retreat or something. There was only one incident. Luckily, I managed to leave it at the bar and explain the thing and resolve it. Because it happened like what you went through, Amy. Yours is actually still quite minor, but that one, that time, it involved many people, even out of the committee one also involved. Well, there were a lot of this type of feedback from the participants who participated at those retreats. Actually, those retreats that was not organized by me. There was one organized by me, but the other one was not organized. But if from the other one, not organized by me, it developed into something quite bad, really, because it seems like outside different Kayamita tend to, like, the sign came and talked to me and discussed it with me. Then I knew already, this thing has become something like that. Yeah, there are some who are not happy with certain things that certain people decide. Yeah, they don't have the big picture. They don't have the full understanding of what is going on. So luckily, after that, there was condition for me to actually call the committee member together to discuss it and explain the whole thing to them. So in the discussion, what I told them is we have to be careful about our own eagerness to put forward our views or opinion or decision. Then I say it's not a question of trying to be right or we try to do the right thing. Because right according to you may not be right according to others. Others are not happy. Then some people, they question, why the surplus fund donate a lot to temple? Then certain temple nominated by somebody, why that temple? Why not other temple? So these are the questions that are very common. But if you don't hear it from the outside, the grassroots, it's okay. It is not serious. But once you start to hear from outside, means if you don't nip it in the bud, it will explode. That's why I say, don't try to explain to outside people, because they don't have the number. They cannot understand. So what I normally do is, I overcome the misunderstanding by saying, the final decision, they always come back to me for the final decision, and I make the decision. So the moment they hear, brother, you make the decision, they all become quiet. They're not like question and other things really. But what is important is to resolve all this to an understanding. Because I told them after that, I said, as committee member, you volunteer your service sincerely, and you have the condition to do this work, which we have to really have the gratitude and the understanding, and thank our good nature and our good karma for having such condition. Then when we come in to help or to do all this work, it's not a matter of trying to be right or pushing forward our views and opinion. What is more important is, like the Kayamita Fund, the basis of it is very important. Where people donate based on the trust they had in me. And I have to make sure it's done properly. Means the offering and donation must be to the appropriate places with the appropriate right conditions to receive them. Then what Kayamita can do, Kayamita Fund can do, and what Kayamita Fund cannot do, I'm very clear. That's why when it involves something which I'm not sure, I will say no, we don't donate. Because we can't, because we are entrusted with that trust that people give to us. Then after that, I told them, whatever we do, when it's on spiritual trip or whatever, what is best for Kayamita? Not what is best according to our views and opinion. So if you base it on what is best for like retreat for the participant, means the people who donate towards the common pool, the Kayamita Fund and all the individual, then how all this money is to be allocated and spent is very important. Of course, the basic necessity like the transport, the daily expense that we had to pay to the temple and all those things. Then after that, we will normally have a lot of surplus because people sponsor breakfast, lunch, and sometimes other type of sponsorship. Then people normally make offering and donation above what the basic like charges are. So with that, we need to establish how we should actually make full use of the fund that are surplus to benefit all the participants and the Kayamitas. What is best for the participants and the Kayamitas? That's why after that, I explained to them why we donate so much, the bulk of it, to the temple. Well, this is a Mahayana Triple Gem temple established by a very, very sincere and famous monk, the founder, then all the abbot that follow. And they established it solely for what? For the benefit of cultivator, to actually bring forth the causes and conditions for people to come and develop their faith, plant the seed of bodhi, cultivate wholesomeness and honesty. And the field of merit is immeasurable, limitless, because of the condition there, the great beings and other things. Then people go there for retreat. They hold many of these far away throughout the year. And they don't charge us for the heater, the electricity, even the lodging. they only charge us about cost for the meals, and the meals are so cheap. I think 3 or 4 ringgit a meal only. So one day, even 2 meal or 3 meal, it's only about 12 ringgit or one. Then we add in the fruits and all this thing. Then we have to consider how we should pay the worker that help us. Then we need to hire extra because they don't have enough helper, especially during the retreat period. We have a lot of work to do. Then they help us to prepare our room before we come. They clean everything. That's why we must hand them back in order and all this thing. Then on top of that, we must understand if they don't charge us on the water and electricity, how are they going to survive? So we have to make offering. The bulk of it will go towards the maintenance of the temple, means for the operation, for the utility, for whatever disbursement that they need. They also have their quick rent assessment, whatever. Then they also have to do repair and also sometimes upgrading work. Then a lot of the thing that retreat participant or all the people who attended the Fahui, they need the facility and all these things. So it is a genuine cause, and the field of merit is immeasurable. We are over such long period of establishment of the Triple Jam Temple. What you need is one or two really doing or making during the Fahui or retreat or cultivation when they are there, or even plant the seed of Bohi when they visit the place. The field of merits is immeasurable, and this will shine for and bring for a lot. So a lot of people don't understand until I explain. Then after we explain, then people say, yeah, we should donate more. Then after that is I arrange the Kayamita fund in such a way that the Kayamita fund will donate towards the retreat as a common fund. Then we make sure certain like lunch or food expenses, the Kayamita fund will sponsor. Then the common fund will also sponsor after we donate. So normally we will have the hot pot, the last day before we leave the next morning, the evening after the closing ceremony. Then after that, on the way back, normally we will have lunch somewhere. So that one also sponsored by Kayamita. So if you have chance to sponsor the breakfast of all these cultivators, the lunch of all these cultivators, and also whatever that people sponsor, sometimes it's in the form of, I think they go and buy some of this tofu farm, I don't know what, I forgot already. And some people just buy certain thing and make offering. And it's like dana offering to the participant of the retreat. And these are very wholesome offering or donation. So if you understand all this, you will develop the understanding and you will strongly support why the big chunk of the donation goes towards the temple. Then the balance, normally we are quite healthy if we have a surplus cash flow. We will donate to certain way place or places that we feel have affinity with us and will help us develop some form of real, genuine wholesomeness. Like we donate to us Wu Ping Jing Se, last time Miss Li there allow us to use for our Sunday class free. No charge, nothing. Electricity and the way place. Then all this, what Miss Li did was she donated back to Kayamita. So there's a synergy, which is very beautiful. Then we also donate to like certain organization that actually that actually has the condition for us to donate. One of them is the place we usually support is Anandagiri, Thailand. We have great affinity with Achala. And he gave us a condition to do a lot of wholesomeness whenever he has his activity there. And we have known him for, I think, very long, almost coming to 10 years, if I'm not wrong. It started in the year 2013, I think, or 2012, coming to 10 years, I think. Then also, there are, of course, other way places. So, Sui An, they all used to go to Wat Na Long. That's why sometimes we make offering to Wat Na Long. But there is one place that I don't know the detail of the where they want to buy land and build something. So at that time, I told Sui An, I say better not, because we are not sure. I asked who is the trustee, or he cannot really tell. They say roughly, I think, is given to lay people. So lay people can have complications, they can run away with the money and all those things. So it depends. If I'm not sure, I say no, we will not make offering or donation. That's why after that, after I explain all this to the committee, then only they start to know. So I said, you can give your suggestion, no problem. Then we go by consensus. Because what we need to ask ourselves is sincerely what is best for the community. And then the individual selfishness or eagerness to push forward their idea or their suggestion will be no more. Understand? That one actually very useful. You all can apply. Maybe in future when you organize any of all this, you can resolve it amicably. It's not about who is right, who is wrong. It's about what is best for the community and the participant. Yes, these are the people who came and participate and they make offering. Then from the surplus fund, we do the activity. Then how we plan the activity is very different. That one is a very important understanding which only people who has the Dhamma can do it well. Otherwise, sure, got misunderstanding. So this is really good sharing. There is condition. That's why I share this again. I think this is the second time I mentioned about this. Okay, yeah. Maybe?
The original purpose, the true thing of the event or whatever plan is very important.
Yeah.
Always go back because to the original objective.
There must be causes and conditions for whatever activity to arise. That's why when people ask me, do you want to go where, my nature will know whether to go or not to go. Then, of course, spiritual activity like your seminary program. You have, like I mentioned that day, you have that condition and that nature. And it's meant to be because you're supposed to develop this type of activity. You got a very strong affinity and interest in this type of seminary program, which you already in the past had that intention. That's why you will become beautiful in the future. And all this will help you. You continue.
It's paying back what I have obtained the benefits from
the earlier when you go through the earlier practice and all the where people organize for you, then it's like now payback time. So it started from that, but you have your sign. Where I look back, I see you organize not only one, you organize many. And you put in a lot of very extraordinary sincerity and faith to organize it. And I hear about this. Surprisingly, although I'm not involved in any of it, but people came and shared all this thing with me. That's why I know. Even young black girl and also a few of them. Earlier on was your, I think Sam 2, you do 1 minute last night.
Yeah, night 2 0.
SJBA also you do 1 minute.
Yes, 2014 was first time at SJBA. 16 after 2 years, 2016 at Sentul Temple, because SJBA was under construction for a new annex building.
Yeah, correct.
So 2018 back to SJBA.
Yeah.
Third time.
Yeah. Then Sister Tammy's mother, what's her name already?
Karen.
Karen. She was full of joy and very grateful towards you all, the organizer. She shared her sharing in the Tuesday class, Thursday class. That was beautiful.
So another thing I'd like to share is the human relationship.
That one, very beautiful.
Between human relationship is very important. Live a harmonious communal living. So many participants in one building. Many people share one room.
Correct.
The tolerance, endurance is very needed.
Yes. Even at our Cameron Highland, at first people were complaining, snoring very loud, cannot take it. Then I say, you come to retreat. For what? To train yourself. You can't even tolerate snoring. Then it's very difficult for you to understand the meditative training. Your meditative training is not about you alone. The world is the world. It has its own causes and conditions. You cannot pass because of all this small thing. Then means it's your problem. You don't have the understanding. But it's only when you can endure, like you said, you use the right word, and develop the harmony. Because we are there because of the retreat or the Samaneri program or the retreat program. Then we need to actually understand that all these are organized for us. We are at people's way place. We have to respect their rules. We have to develop harmony. We had to endure many things. But it's already a luxury compared to the early years. That's why I share this with some of the retreat participants at that time. When I was there in the early 80s, Triple Gem Temple, that meditation hall was not extended yet. The flooring was still cement floor, very cold. There was no hot water, nothing. The toilet at that time, all very basic. But very cold. But that was the condition and environment that I went for the retreat. And it was during that time that I realized the cessation. That's why it's your mind, your understanding. If everything also you cannot endure, cannot understand, appreciate, or come to terms with, then this mundane mind will react and create all the emotion and the movement, the war song feeling, the unhappy, then the views, opinion, all this will move in to cause more and more complication and misunderstanding and conflict. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is designed for cultivator to have this ability to have the right speech or right communication and the right action based on right view, rising of right thought, all of the wholesome quality of this Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, which is following the Dhamma way to resolve whatever relationship that you may encounter while going through life, while attending spiritual activity, retreat, or meetings or whatever. So all these are related to cultivation and life. That's why life itself is our greatest teacher. If we cannot apply the Dhamma to life, you don't have the true live Dhamma. The living Dhamma is like itself. Oh, very good. English, continue. Sadhu.
Yeah, maybe now left 10 minutes. I go to the last sharing. Lah, huh?
Okay.
Something I really very surprised I am able to be. Okay, let me take it straight to the. It's because of three Cambodians. They were ordinated as a permanent seminary.
Oh, okay.
Not a temporary. Like
means they already seminary before they come.
No, they were one stage earlier. That means they call it Anagarika.
Anagarika.
Is after Upasika, after Upasaka, yes. Upasika, a precept, first, they have trained in the monastic rules, and then for many years they become Anagarika. So they have been, I think, 4 or 5 years of as a Anagarika. Next stage is to become a permanent samaneri. So they have no condition in Cambodia to be ordained.
They requested
permission to come over to our fourth TSMP in Malacca. They tumpang our so-called ordination. So they are the permanent ones. When they arrive after a lot of hardship,
cannot converse
in English, and then they have to get their bhikkhunis teacher from US, also a Cambodian but holding a US passport,
with a translator
from US also. A lot of hardship, but that one I cut it short because a lot of karmic things that I can see.
Definitely.
What I'd like to share is the name tag for these three permanent seminary. We are changing their names to Venerable Su Mangala Temple's name, Arya Vihara. They put their name Arya in front of the name. Then S-I-L-A, S-A-M-A-T-H-I,
P-A-N-N-A,
all those things.
Since
no one else can do, so I have to do lor. I borrow a computer that can go online, and then I just receive the name from Venerable Su Mangala, and then I just type it lah. I just type it according to the size of the name tag. With no second thoughts lah, I just do what should be done lor.
Very good.
After that, I just printed out and then let the seminary wear it lah, wear their name tag lah. The thing is, the challenging part is, after all these are done, then there are some people telling their views lah. Huh?
Usual.
They said, Venerable Su gave these three persons' name according to Sila Samadhi Panya. At first I didn't catch anything. I said, Sila Samadhi Panya, just now in the morning I typed, you know, I didn't go and recognize Sila Samadhi Panya. When I read back to the handwritten paper by Venerable Su Mangala, I said, it's Arya Siva, Arya Samati, Arya Panya.
So
I said, never mind lah, name tag already printed lah. So I make these names are correct on their certificates. So I do it again, open the computer again, and then do, it's a very natural for me when I see the Samadhi spelling, S-A-A-T-H-I. The T is Terengganu T, Denmark D. Because Brazil also knows me. I usually when see Pali spelling, I will change it. What I think is correct lah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, according to me lah, but
correct, 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 correct. But not according to the public.
not according to what Venerable Su written lah. Venerable Su written THI, Samadhi.
I changed it
to Samadhi.
Yeah.
And with the A bar line some more, Samadhi.
Yeah.
I changed the certificate lah. I passed to Sister Christy to print out in the certificate lah.
Yeah.
It's not yet printed yet lah, huh?
Mm.
After that, when later part I start to contemplate, I said, this is how my mind is stirred and reacted lor. According to my own perception,
yeah,
that Samadhi should be spelled Samadhi and not T-H-I. So I said, why in the first place when I prepare the name tag, I never query at all?
Yeah, it comes spontaneously.
Yeah, it comes spontaneously. Like, just do that. Like what brother you know, say, just do. Don't try to know.
Don't try to
create anything. Just do.
Correct.
That is the correct way, lor. So later when Vasu found out that I changed the THI to DHI, she didn't tell me. I think. She didn't tell me. I just heard again lah. Huh? I didn't know, too busy lah. Cannot go and ask her personally. I heard from her. I'm not sure, but the thing is, you say the Cambodian cannot pronounce DHI. They have to pronounce THI. So when they want to call their own name, they have to see it as THI, Samadhi.
Oh, no wonder.
and not Samadhi.
I said,
that's why the when I catch this thing, but your Dharma sharing came to me.
Yeah.
对也接受。
That was very important. Then just resolve it
Yeah, that one straight come to me, so I changed again the certificate to DHI, and then TT. So when printed out the cert lah, is THI lah.
So
this thing really strike me that 对也接受，不对也接受.
Yeah, it's a very powerful Dhamma.
Not necessarily correct.
Correct, because that one was shared by Guangqing Lao He Sang. He is not educated, but finally. I realize cultivator who has the Dhamma, they will have that quality one. Because what is right and wrong? Right and wrong is the conditioned world. It's not a reality. It's a convention. And people like to argue over right and wrong. What is there to argue? To us, it's the reality. 对也接受,不对也接受. Why? Right according to him. Wrong according to them. Both also the reality. But the reality is different people have different viewpoint, perception of things. That of course in your this case is the variable know that in Cambodia they cannot pronounce the D, he used the T, which is actually also a good understanding, but you are sensitive to what people culture and their languages. So all this, I will also take into consideration. It's not about right and wrong, no meaning. Otherwise, you become rigid. It become very messy. Then some people, the defilement still there. They say, like that you do yourself. I don't do it. And then more problem. But luckily, your understanding is there, then this thing surface, then you realize it can be resolved beautifully, amicably. That's why all this has its wisdom behind. It's not about the conventional reality of right and wrong. As I don't try to be right, I always use that advice. As a cultivator, don't try to be right. Then as a meditator, don't try to know. Don't try to do. Oh, that one people cannot understand. People say, huh? want to know, then how to meditate? Don't try to do, then who meditate? That's why they cannot understand. What we mean is, don't try to know means the knowledge part, the thought, the content of consciousness. That one, keep on manifesting. Because it wants to know. It wants to be right. Then that thought, keep on creating all the, what they call ideology, the conditioning. Then when thought is active, how can you meditate? At that part, people cannot understand. When they do thought-based meditation, they are not doing awareness-based meditation. When you do awareness-based meditation, you realize, oh, that is beautiful. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. Just silent, relax. That is the first hallmark of meaning. Wunian. Ah, good, Sadhu. Very good sharing, Sadhu.
That's why I realized there's no absolute true and no absolute wrong.
Yeah, because these are conventional reality. It's not the truth. The truth is the isness of thing. Thing is just the way it is. Finish. It's not about our version of right and wrong. That's why acceptance is wisdom, I always say. Not
true,
the suppression
type. Yes. When I realized that, there is no grasping at all. That
you will be able to have that understanding because you have gone through those tests in the early days.
So I really understand the meaning of free mind, like what you said. The mind that
correct.
Is free
yes.
of entanglement.
Yeah,
free of qi xing dong nian, free of paticca samuppada.
Yeah, correct. Means it cannot affect you at all. Yeah, it cannot affect you at all. Because the moment you have the understanding, you can be at peace at all time. Means anywhere, any place, any situation and condition. If you are not able to be at peace under such circumstances, then your mind got a lot of things to do. That's why you use the word qi xing dong nian, is correct. Because when you arise the mundane mind, it creates sankara activity, thinking. And what is the link before? Avijja. Avijja vajja sankara. That's why dong nian jiusi ji shi wu ming. That is what Bo Yan Zhang Lao said. And that was beautiful. That time when Sister Gig tried to ask me, because she didn't know, then when I explained to her, then only she understand. Then Bo Yan Zhang Lao used the word, Wu Nian, Jiu Shi Zhen Xing. Oh, that one was very beautiful. I told her, yeah, it's correct. Very beautiful. That's why people who have the cultivation and the Dhamma is very clear about their understanding. Good, Sadhu, Amy.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. That's the end of my sharing.
Okay, let us rejoice with all the good sharing today by Brother Song and Sister Amy creating the good condition. Sadhu, Sadhu.